Business Class is brought to you by the Tourism Academy, harnessing the power of science, business psychology, and adult education to advance the tourism industry and build sustainable economies. Learn how to engage your community, win over stakeholders, and get more visitors at tourismacademy.org.
Steve Ekstrom here, host of the Business Class podcast, and today's guest is Elena Cooper, President and CEO of Discover Monroe, West Monroe, in lovely Louisiana. Elena, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here. It's good to see you.
It's great to see you too. And, you know, I am excited that I'm finally getting a chance to visit your area. What might be a couple highlights I should look for?
Oh, definitely while you're here, I would recommend Black Bayou National Wildlife Refuge, if you're, you know, not from Louisiana. I know you've been here before, and but it definitely showcases a little bit of the environment and the nature of Louisiana that I recommend if you're not from the area or the region. The cypress trees with the Spanish moss, more than likely you're going to see an alligator, which everyone is always excited to see, but they actually have some, and they have an exhibit within the nature, the education center, which is really cool too. So they have some small alligators and a lot of the fish that are naturally to the area, but it is a, there's a peacefulness about it as you walk out on the pier and the dock and you see ducks floating and, you know, I said alligators, and there's some people sometimes out there fishing, people out there do yoga. There's just the nature of Louisiana has this peace that wraps around you that is really neat to experience, that I try to encourage people to do. Now it is summer, so it's a little bit hot. So if you're going there, I always recommend going very early, by 8 a.m., 8 to 9 or earlier even, because the pier is open. And like that is a beautiful experience to watch the sun come up over it. Other places that I definitely tell people don't miss, the Beanhorn Museum and Gardens is the home to the family that bottled Coca-Cola. A lot of people know Coke. It's, you know, it's a national, international, you know, thing that everyone knows, but the bottling actually came from this area. The family was in Vicksburg and they owned a candy company, and they thought that the soda that you got at the stand should be taken to be able to get out to the people, and that you would have to come to the soda stand to get it. And they actually figured out how the bottling process, and actually the iconic Coke curry bottle, they decided on that, and that family's here. It is a beautiful home to tour. It has the Coca-Cola history, but their daughter also traveled throughout Europe during pre-World War, and she started collecting Bibles. So she has a Bible museum, which is gorgeous, and she loved the gardens of Europe and developed that. So there's these beautiful gardens behind the home. So it's something definitely worth a trip for. And then our other great history museum is the Chenault Aviation and Military Museum. Anyone who loves history or really is just proud to be an American should go there. It is a museum that tells about General Claire Chenault. He is a volunteer. He created a volunteer army, the Flying Tigers, and they flew Warhawks, which is going to tell you a little neat connection to that in a moment. But they taught the Chinese how to fight in the air against Japan during World War II. And they are credited really with keeping Japan from taking over China. They are heroes in China. And it's interesting how well known they are in China, but not as well known in the USA. But General Claire Chenault was from this area. The museum honors him, but it also honors all of our military, telling the story from World War I up to current day. But it is a wonderful place to visit. So those are kind of like, you know, don't miss those if you come here. Besides food, you know, it is Louisiana. You definitely need to eat while you're here as well. So we've got some great food.
What was it like growing up there?
It was wonderful. I grew up hunting, fishing, loving the outdoors. And the Washita River runs through Monroe, West Monroe. I grew up on it. We were on it all the time. I learned how to ski and love the water. We've fished, you know, we caught a lot of things we ate. It's a great area. The people are really kind and welcoming. I guess you kind of expect that in the South, but it's just a very laid back vibe, and people are genuinely just, hey, come on over here. We're cooking this. You want to come join us? It's just kind of a very friendly sit down at the table thing. It's kind of funny. Duck Dynasty came out of our area, that show. And it is funny. People do invite you to the table to come share a meal. It is definitely a common theme in our area.
When did you realize you wanted to work for the destination marketing organization?
Oh, that's funny. I didn't realize it. I had a friend who lady lived down the street from me, and I lived out in the country. So down the street is a loose terminology, but she was someone I had known, and she was on the board of directors here. And I ran into her, and she said, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I'm working this place." And she said, "I've got the perfect job for you." And I was like, "Okay." And she said, "The CVB, you need to call Julia." And I was like, "What is the CVB?" And who is Julia? Who was my predecessor? And anyway, I called her the next day, talked to her about it, made the phone call, went interview, got the job. And 27 years later, I'm still here. So, and I love it. It's a pleasure to get to wake up every day and do something you love and tell people about something you love, which is your community. And then you know that what you're doing gives back to your community, because when you're bringing people here and they're spending money, you're making your community better. You're providing services through those tax dollars that are created through visitation. So it's wonderful.
What's been the biggest challenge you've faced over those 27 years working for the CVB?
Probably COVID. I will say that was difficult, in the fact of one, I'm so used to, it's like family here where we work, and, having to send everybody home. And us, we did the Zooms and the everything else, but it just wasn't the same. And it was interesting. I realized how much we enjoy and get from each other face to face when we did that. And it was neat when we got the opportunity. We went to phase one. We started hosting softball and baseball tournaments, which is one of our biggest draws for our community. And they said we could play sports, and so we were going to play sports. I asked our team, I said, do y'all want to come back to the office? If we're inviting people to our community, we need to be open. I'm good with it. Are y'all, this is kind of a scary thing. We still don't know all the answers. And everyone was here that Monday at 8:00. They were all excited to be back together. And so that just says to me about what a great team I have and what dedication they have to our community and the fact that they like being together. So it's difficult during that time frame, just the not knowing. We weathered that storm fairly well. We had two natural disasters during it, which meant you didn't have one of the safety centers to send people to from those disasters. We had tornadoes here, and then we had hurricanes. Actually, a hurricane in Northeast Louisiana, which is crazy. We weathered that well. Our partners at the hotels, I can remember it was Easter Sunday when the tornadoes came through. Myself, I made the phone call to every hotel to say, "Do you have any rooms? What could you do?" And they didn't, a lot of them had to let their people go because they weren't busy. So, but they were like, "I can do 10 rooms, or I can do, and they're like, "It's me. I'm washing the laundry. I'm doing everything, but I can do 10 rooms, or I can do 15. And they were, on the phone immediately. And what do we need to do? How do we help our community? So again, getting to see that, always seeing the good and the goodness of our people it's a blessing. It makes what you do every day even that much better, because the people that you're serving are that good, and so what you're doing helps them. It's a great circle.
What's something you wish you knew starting your career that you know now?
I wish I knew where we were headed in marketing. I can remember we used to do a photo. It was the size of a passport photo, and you wrote 25 words of copy. And that was, and it was an ad in a magazine, and that was our marketing. To have known all the things that there are today that you're marketing through and how much that is out there, it would have been great to know that and to have a little bit of insight. I had some great people throughout the time I've been here who were futuristic and looking at those. I feel like we do try to do things that are very innovative here, and we definitely are not let rest on your laurels. That was good enough. It's always like, how can we do better? How can we do more? How can we do the best for showcasing our community? I was one of the first people to ever bring in this region. I brought an in-house videographer, and I think that was good because I was working with agencies and they're great, but they're used to selling a product, like a thing, and we're selling an experience. And it's just a different, it's a different way to market. And I think that's been a great learning curve and it's been fun. I'm a forever learner. So that's one of the one joys of the job is there's always something new. So, you know, I wish I knew I was going to make great friends. I wish I'd been, when I first started, better about keeping those connections. We didn't have email back then. I mean, that's how long ago I've been at this job. I started laughing about that the other day. I'm like, we didn't have email. I remember getting an email address and thinking, what is this? And, you know, used to write, everything was letters or, I remember the fax was so exciting. And now I'm like, we got rid of our fax not too long ago. We had to keep it for a few reasons. We went to voice over internet protocol. So it's fun to think back through all the years of how things have changed. But it's exciting because there's so many neat and cool things that are happening and how you get to market and how you can actually find that person who's really going to enjoy what you have to offer. There's just these, with all the tools that are out there to connect, it is neat. It is really exciting and fun.
How did you come across an organization like Destinations International?
You know, I've been involved with pretty much Destinations International from the beginning. We were a member, I think, when I started. So I remember when it was IACBB. I actually remember going to annual meeting, trying to think, probably my first one, but I remember Seattle for some reason or another, but I do remember going to Seattle a bazillion years ago and enjoying that. And it was just kind of a neat experience. Being a learner, Destinations International gives you that opportunity every year to make better connections to people who are doing the same thing you do, to where you can ask for help when you need it, which I need a lot. So I like making those connections. It also giving you continuing education. I mean, like I said, the changes that have happened over the years, you've got to kind of know what's out there, what's happening. I remember going through QR codes and thinking, I remember having conversations with people, they're dead. And then COVID came. And now everyone knows what a QR code is. Everyone. My 89-year-old mother gets out her phone at the restaurant to do the QR code to get her menu. I mean, she doesn't love doing it, but she does it. And I said, it was the things that change. And there's always some new innovations. The things that we are doing with cell phones, you know, the information you're learning and about people, maybe not necessarily knowing that it's you, Stephen, and that you like these things, but it's the fact that you can know what people have an interest in and you can serve the people who it matches with things you have to offer. Information, that's so neat. Little big brother, but it's fun.
As a destination, you compete with other destinations. Mm-hmm. Yet what you just pointed out is learning from them. So how would you describe and maybe even differentiate what is the collaborative environment versus the competitive environment for destinations?
I see it's so much more collaborative because you're always going to be competing. This is the competition is always for us on the group side, whether that be conventions or sports. But you're never going to get them all. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. And so I think being graceful in that competitiveness will help you, benefit you much more than being, oh, in your face, we won, or those type of things, because you're going to be competing against them over and over again. I remember when I did sales, which is where I first started, you know, I was seeing the same people every time we went to go bid, which you used to do a lot more bids in person. Now you just send in information. A lot of them are more online, send us a video, send us, you know, kind of your package, make your pitch. So it has changed a lot over the years, but you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. I always think build a bridge because you can learn from them. They can learn from you. And I think that those are more of opportunities. You know, you didn't win it. So what did they do? What did that group do better? What did they have to offer that was different from you? So can you take that and utilize that to improve yourself, improve our area? You know, sometimes it's dollars, sometimes it's facility, sometimes it's connections, and you learn from it. So I think it's an opportunity to always learn and improve, make us better. So there are some people don't think that way. I've always thought we've got to learn and keep doing better. We're not going to win every bid we go for. We didn't win one. What do we do better next time to get it the next time? And how do we, you know, with events that we host, whether that be a sporting event, how do we make that the parents that are spending the money to bring their kid here, how do we make that tournament better? Can't make them all win. I mean, we're in sports. I mean, that's our bread and butter. They're not always going to win. So how do we make the experience still great? And so those are things that we're always trying to improve as well.
What are two or three traits you look for when hiring someone new?
Well, interesting. Quite a few years back, I learned about Clifton strengths. And so I utilize and most people know personality tests that are out there. I utilize it to learn what the individual strengths are. Everyone has strengths. They're just different ones. For certain positions, there may be, they kind of go in those four quadrants. It may be that I need a strategic person. If their strengths lead towards that, that's great. Or it may be that they're I need relationship builder kind of person, or I may need someone who is influencing or someone who is executing. I love executing strengths because I know they're going to get it done. That is one of my, I will say when I see that they have a strength, like an achiever, that they're like, I want to get it done. I do know that they're typically going to be someone who does that. What I did learn is I have like responsibility, and it is, it was funny when we started doing this and I took everybody through the test, the most common thing was responsibility. So now I actually look for varying strengths. I don't want them to have the same thing I have. I want them to have something different. So it brings about a better, well-rounded team. So I'm typically looking for one, do they know anything about our community and do they like it? So a positive attitude or some passion in there. And then I look at their actual individual strengths to see, does that help make us a better, well-rounded team, and, you know, the meshing into it to add to it, to make us better. Again, I'm always looking for how do we improve? How do we keep moving forward? So,
what's a lesson that you might've learned during your formative, you know, school years that you apply to what you do now?
I laugh because I think about, I think it's seventh grade in Louisiana, you're required to take Louisiana history. It was not my favorite class. I will say that. I did. We had to write a lot, and I was not much of a writer. But I learned a lot, and I had to tell that teacher. It was funny when I started here about 5 years after I'd started here. I ran into her and I said, I know you probably don't remember me. And she was like, oh, yeah. And I said, I did not enjoy Louisiana history when I took it. I am using it now all the time. And it's funny, not that I remember, I never was a date like in whatever this year this happened, but the stories that I learned through the years, through that year about different things about our culture and how it came about and how our history, the French, the Spanish influence, the things that make Louisiana unique, and some of the foods as well that came, a lot of the foods came from Africa, which was through slave trade, which was is a horrible, horrible thing, but it also, there's some good that came out of it, which I said, the food and the influence that it has had on our culture. I mean, it definitely brings about what we call the gumbo pot. I mean, the mixing pot of what is Louisiana that is so unique. It's so different than many other states. I don't know why it meshed together so well, but it's kind of like gumbo. You put all these things in a pot and you come out with this great food. It's like you put all these people together and all this history together and you get this great place and you get great people out of it. So, that's what I remember, and that's what I can recall as far as history. It's funny that I remember I was like, I just really don't like, you know, it was one of those classes that I was like, oh, I just do, you know, you just do it. But it's funny that I'm using it now. You know, there's many classes that my kids are taking, and I think they'll never use that now that I'm out working. I have teenage children, and like, they'll never use this. You know, I said the same thing. I'm like, why do I need to know Louisiana history? And I'm using it. But it is funny. It's interesting how it came back around to me. And I remember we had a project on, we had to pick like three parishes, and you had to do this really in-depth, like you had to write a paper and you had to learn about how it got formed, how did it get its name, all these things. And I can still remember some of the, I mean, because of that, I still remember.
So you mentioned you have a couple kids. What do you hope your kids learn from you?
My husband and I have this discussion on a good bit of work ethic. you know, it's a different environment now. We and many of us, and I'm sure it probably was said when we were hired, you know, it seems like they want to work less and just make the same money that we do coming fresh out of high school or college. They feel like they should make what the older, the generation ahead, you know, or two ahead of them should be doing. I hope that they have a good, strong work ethic, a devotion to their community, and give back, that they will do volunteerism to for their community and be involved in it. My husband and I both are very active in our community. We serve not only in our positions, but we serve in volunteer and from civic organizations to our chambers. My husband was actually president of one of our chambers, and I've been serving on the other chamber for about 18, 19 years, as well as many other boards within the community. So I hope that they will love their community, give back to the community, and work tirelessly, but love their family, and that they'll kind of put in order the things that we say should be, which is God, family, work, but be dedicated to it. So,
any closing thoughts you want to share with our audience? You know, people who are working in tourism and who may want to grow?
You know, make friendships, meet new people everywhere you go. If you're not that, I'm a wallflower. I am not the light up the room, meet 25, 35 people. But I've put this even on my new employees that are young. And I'm like, every time you go to something, try to make one to three, especially go for two that are good connections. Try to find two people that you meet and learn a little bit more about them. Not just, hey, I'm Alana. Who are you? What do you do? How long have you been in it? What is your background? Try to make a connection and then try to keep that connection. Like I said, I wish email had been around back when I first started. I think about how many connections that I lost because we didn't have those type of things, nor LinkedIn or Facebook, but follow up with it. Connect with them on LinkedIn. You may not necessarily need them tomorrow, but they may need something from you and you may need something from them. Keep those connections going. Don't necessarily, I mean, if you're the person who likes to meet 35 people, go for it. But if you're not, it's okay. Meet, you know, make one to two to three connections at each meeting, and before too long that builds up to more and more. It pays off. I was laughing with Destination International with the thing. It was, I got feedback from most everyone in this industry knows who Mara Gast is. Well, years and years ago, I met Mara and she's one of those people who meets 500 people. You know, she's that type of person. I'm the wallflower, but we had a conversation, and we've always been, every time I see her, it's always a good connection. Now we connected, I made the connection. We're on Interstate 20. We're actually about 4 hours apart, 4.5 hours apart. And that connection has served me well. You know, I'm not necessarily the one going out and don't need to be seen, but she's someone I can pick up the phone and call, or I can send her an email. Hey, have you ever handled this before? Or how do you handle this? And it's, again, connections like that will serve you well throughout the whole years that you're in tourism. And that can be for many. It doesn't need to be the president CEO. It needs to be everyone within it. I met a young lady not too long ago who was a web designer for a company, and she taught me some things. I mean, so there's just, you can always learn from others. And I said, those connections are phenomenal. This is a great industry working for that. That's the thing. People share, people talk, people care. I mean, I think that's it, is that they care about our industry and they care about the people in it. You'll see that if you ever go through a natural disaster, the phone will ring from people, you know, across the country. You'll be like, hey, are y'all okay? Is there anything we can do? You know, I'm thankful ours have been very mild, but, you know, I've had some friends who've been through some rough stuff, and, you know, sometimes I just need somebody to listen, just somebody to say, it's been a really hard day today. We didn't have power, or we didn't have water, or my employee, you know, lost somebody today. That those are some things, and there's some friendships and some relationships that build out of this that are forever. I look I have my friends who've retired, who've moved on, and I still keep in touch with them. When I'm driving to meetings and stuff, I may call and say, hey, how's it going? How's retired life? I'm a little jealous, but love hearing from them and love hearing how they are. I have a lot of friends in a lot of different areas who are retired at this point, haven't been in the industry so long. So it is fun to catch up with them and see how it is on the backside of tourism. But everyone is so happy and so thankful for the career that they have. And I think, like I said, it's a great industry to work in. You couldn't ask for better.
Well, on that note, I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. I look forward to my visit on the way to DEI next week. Yeah. And I'll see you there in Dallas.
We'll see you when you stop here, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
As I say, we'll get you some good food, some hot water cornbread and some, you know, turnip greens and some good fried fish and things. So come on.
I'm getting excited. Folks want to learn more about your destination. Where would they go to visit?
Monroe-Westmonroe.org. That's our website. Come visit us. We'd love to have you.